All right, listen, I'm just looking over some new mortgage application. Actually went up last week, just like a percent. It's a pretty mercurial week-to-week data point. This as interest rates, you know, mortgage rates went up to 6.86% from 6.84%. And, you know, I like to get a temperature check on real estate from different sources at different times. We have Michael Price and Sandy Terenzi and, you know, whenever we can. And also, you know, Alexander Soul writes a lot about it in CT Insider. And, you know, there's a couple pieces he wrote in the last couple days that are really interesting. The first one I want to talk about is more Connecticut homebuyers turn to – not the adjustable rate one. I actually want to talk about the data points from April 1st. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. We welcome in Alex now on Brian & Company. Alex, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
So I think this mortgage data – and again, the weekly data, I'm sure you know, is super volatile, and it's you have to look at trends and not just one week at a time. But, you know, with your piece on, you know, the state of the Connecticut market, before I get into the nuts and bolts, is your sense that maybe people are just giving up on rates going down and they're just like, we got to do something here, so let's just do it?
Yeah, that's exactly what the brokers are telling us. So the people who have been, quote-unquote, stuck in their homes because they locked in a mortgage at maybe 4% or 3.5% in 2019 or 2020 or before, and would need to get a new mortgage in order to sell the house and buy a new one. They're just looking at the rates of the last couple of years and saying, I don't want to take that on, even though they could refinance, obviously, when the rates go down. So it's just had an ongoing cascading effect into the real estate market in the context of listings that are available for sale. So if you as a buyer are looking around and you're just not seeing anything that's great out there, maybe you're just going to sit back a little bit and rent another year. And the numbers that were quoted to me by one real estate agent at Greenwich was, hey, statewide, a normal market was 15 to 20,000 listings on the market. Today, it's anywhere between 3 to 4,000, maybe ticking a little bit above that.
That's stunning. Can you give it? We're talking with Alexander Soul here from CT Insider. You go to ctinsider.com. I just, again, I say this every day, but just Google Alexander Soul, S-O-U-L-E, and CT Insider, and then you get to his jump page where you have all his stuff. But can you sort of summarize, give us some of the data points about, you know, the last month in Connecticut real estate?
Yeah, and April's always one of the first of several interesting months to look at because these are transactions that closed on purchase agreements that were made, let's say, February and March.
Right.
So at that point, new listings are starting to come on for the spring market. And so the April sales data is always really interesting. And if you look statewide, the listings for the first 4 months of the year are up about 5%, which is positive progress compared to what we had been seeing in previous years. But the sales have yet to catch up. They're pretty much flatliner from a year ago. And so the May numbers will be even more interesting. But what we found was that if you drill down into specific pockets of Connecticut, whether at the city level or a county level, you do see areas where there's a lot of activity going on. And as one example, Danbury was a super hot market last year. And that's the case again this year where listings are up, sales are up. Waterbury was one of the hottest markets in the state 2 years ago and 3 years ago as people were coming out of the city and looking for something that they could afford. Last year was a bit more of a flatliner for Waterbury, but again, the sales are way up this year. Middlesex County, Windham County, a lot of action. In Fairfield County, the sales have been pretty much flat, which it was so hot to begin with in Stamford and Norwalk and some of the other places that that almost doesn't surprise. But it's all keyed to listings. And the realtors basically say, every single one you talk to, if more listings were to hit, we'd have a lot more sales because the buyers are out there.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. We're talking with Alexander Soul, CT Insider here on Brian & Company. A couple of my prevailing theories on this, and I don't know if I could be a total crackpot, but part of it to me is that I think that Connecticut real estate was, you know, was so low for so long that, I mean, there's so many publications that list like Hartford County, other counties is like the hottest places in the country, right? And I think part of it's because it was depressed for so long. But the other thing I wanted to, and you can respond how you'd like, is that, you know, this listing uptick, but the sales being flat, we'll see what happens next month. But I think it's a lot of people putting like middling properties on the market, trying to take advantage of the price upticks because maybe the choice of inventory isn't so great.
Yeah, and when you say middling, you're not talking middle market. You're talking about middling conditions.
Yeah, not great. Not great. Really appealing properties per se.
Yeah, and some of those, if you look at them, actually they're getting really big premiums because there is still a fixer upper crowd out there that sees that as an opportunity to down the road build value. But I think you're right on that. Like if there's a property which is in poor condition or even the grounds are not great for whatever the family wants, then it may sit longer. The other kind of factor to consider, and we had talked about a couple of weeks ago, is insurance. And, you know, there are portions of the country where insurance rates are sky high, and there are agents who are telling me there are people moving back in some instances because the cost of living is so high in other places. And then the other factor is just employment dynamics. There are finally more people who are being asked to come back to the office. And so that's taking away the remote working aspect of real estate that was very real for the first couple of years of the pandemic.
You know, the last question I have for you, you wrote another piece on adjustable rate mortgages. And again, if people don't know, most of you do know, but it's where you get a really low rate for a certain amount of time, and usually 7 years, 5 years, and then after that term, it spikes up. And for me, I worked at CNBC during the financial crisis, and people with ARMs, it was a disaster, right? And so when I see that there's two things. When I see an uptick in ARMs, I get nervous about the market. But also, Connecticut is a place where a lot of people do it.
Yeah, and what happened back in that Great Recession era was ARMs for jumbo loans. And so people were buying houses between maybe 750 and a million, using that as their platform to get it. And so cobbling together a mortgage from different sources as a jumbo package and then falling into arrears. The one thing I'll say about that is that after the Great Recession, the state did put in mortgage mediation, which in my opinion has definitely helped in terms of lowering the foreclosure risk because banks are forced to, or lenders rather, are forced to mediate with homeowners and not just say, you're out of here and seizing the house. Connecticut does have one of the highest percentages in the nation. I think it was Massachusetts, California, and Iowa for ARM loans. And the big question is, you can refinance those as well, but they become very difficult to refinance in any kind of a housing collapse. That's the one thing is I haven't heard any analysts talking about any kind of a housing collapse anytime soon. So my guess is that the ARM sector is not in the condition it was 15 years ago.
Right.
But you're right. You're taking on a bigger interest rate and risk.
Yeah, and we'll see. I haven't seen a lot of pieces on foreclosure rates or whatever. I'd have to look into that. Alex, I appreciate it, man. I love real estate content, so I'm always going to want to talk about it. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, Simon.
All right, Alexander Soul from CT Insider. Again, go to ctinsider.com. And, I mean, who doesn't love reading about it? I mean, I guess it's a sign of, like, adulthood, right? I mean, kids don't care, but...